In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ah, the insanity of Christmas. The planning, the shopping, the playing of Christmas music that started in October already on the radio stations. Praise be to God that the Bohr household wasn't until after Thanksgiving on that one. The driving in snow, or in our case, the driving through Chicago. The chronic, are we there yet? Ringing in harmony from the back row. For the record, it wasn't until Milwaukee this time.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of tired of Christmas already. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's very easy for devout Christians to totally forget what the meaning of Christmas is. We're just as guilty as our unbelieving neighbors who have no inclination of celebrating who Christ is. We can very easily fall down that same trap, and we often do. We totally forget what the birth of Jesus was about and what it meant not only for us, but for the whole world. So I'm going to ask another question. Who is Jesus to you? I would hope you would all say my Savior. But how many of us have wondered about who he is as the Word of God? As life? As the light of the world? As Jesus' incarnation, Jesus being in the world, Jesus coming into the flesh. Have you ever really pondered what those things mean? So I was sitting to write this sermon and poring over the gospel lesson. It became very clear there's a lot of ways I personally could take the passage, but the one thing that kept coming out of all of it was that Jesus is the one who's really in control. And he's been in control from the beginning of time. And there's several different points and ways that he shows that he is the one in control. Point number one. Jesus is the spoken word of God that was the actual creator in the creation that we see in Genesis 1 and 2. It's touched on here in the first few verses of today's gospel lesson. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything that was made. Dearly beloved, the very words at creation that created the world was the work of Christ. He was and still is the action of God. He's the one who created the universe as we know it. Obviously with the Father and the Holy Spirit. It is through these very actions of Jesus that the world was made. It is also through the very actions of Jesus on the bloody cross that we are redeemed. And while the three persons of the Trinity and all the substance, they're all of the same substance, they're all of the same spirit, but they're also separate at the same time. This is the conundrum that's a stumbling block for many. Our own human will is so corrupted by sin, we cannot even begin to believe in this without the work of the Holy Spirit. And we'll never be able to understand it by our own reason. But just like he made everything a creation, Jesus has made us right with him again through his work on the cross, and he will make everything right again after the last day. Point number two. Jesus was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus represents how we were to live, but were unable to. Because of sin, we were not able to live perfect lives. Because he was God, he could. But although while he was God, he had the same sinful, rotten flesh. He was given the same flesh that we reside in. He was given the same temptations that we were given. But unlike us, he was able to resist them all. In the humanity of Jesus, we see that we were created in his image. But we're also reminded because of our sin that we are not God. And our sins make us unable to stand before God. If we think we can, we're flat wrong. God hates all sin. No one can stand before God as a sinner and live. This is what Moses was afraid of. This is what John was afraid of in the Transfiguration. As he's seeing the very glory of God before his eyes, we can credit Peter for the one, though, that said it, not John, bowing before God and not knowing that he should die because he just seen God. And, like the apostles, they all had their pet sins. We do too. And they all lead to death and damnation. Point number three. Jesus was the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Dearly beloved, Jesus is the light of the world. As pervasive as the darkness of sin is, it's not able to blot out the light of Jesus. John the Baptist came to point to Christ. He had to remind and show the people of Israel that he was not the Messiah. And being John, being filled with the Holy Spirit, was like the Holy Spirit. He pointed to Christ. Point number four, Jesus came into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. Like what was said earlier in the sermon, Jesus made the world. He, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, created a perfect world. But sin has ruined this world, and the world is no longer able to acknowledge who its creator is. We need to be reminded that Jesus is in control of everything. But we don't need to be reminded that the world is Satan's playground. Satan will never stop his onslaught. He is relentless in his desire to lead the world into rejecting Yahweh as the rightful creator and governor of the universe. The devil has been doing this ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden. And even though we are in God's hands in the church, we're still in the world. The world still views us as its prey. And while God rejoices when we come back to him in his church, Satan equally rejoices whenever someone leaves the church or he coaxes them into sin. And we do sin. We are tempted and fall into sin just like unbelievers. And God hates our sin just as much as he hates the sin of those who hate him or do not believe in him. And we are all our guilty and should stand condemned to hell. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Jesus first came to redeem the people of Israel. But as it is written in this verse in John and in several other places in Scripture, most of the Jewish people have rejected Christ, and they still have today. To reject Christ as the Messiah is to reject Yahweh. If they reject Yahweh, they can no longer be God's chosen people, for they have rejected Christ. They consider their lineage more important than God, and thus worship their lineage to Abraham and not Yahweh. We are not above falling into the same trap. The world is filled with false preachers that want us to believe their personal revelation of God is way more important than God's very word. Please don't fall into this trap, dear brothers and sisters. If you trust them and their message, it will lead you straight to hell. Everything that's written about God needs to be tested with Scripture to see if it's true or not. In the case of our Lutheran confessions in the Book of Concord, they are consistent with Scripture. We can trust them. They've shown that for the last 450 plus years. But unfortunately, not everything that is written is that way. Don't fall into the pop culture of the Joel Osteens and the Beth Moores and the Benny Hinns and whatnot. Learn to recognize a false prophet when you see one. I don't think I have to worry about that too much in this room. But nevertheless, it still happens. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Christ opened his kingdom to Gentiles so we can be his sons and daughters. And through baptism, we are adopted into his family. We become heirs to the kingdom of God through baptism. But it's only through his grace that we get there. Your family lineage no longer has any lineage on whether you're saved or not. At least your earthly family lineage has nothing to do on whether you're saved or not. It's only your heavenly family lineage, which comes straight through the baptismal font. Point number 5, Jesus as the incarnate Son of God. In his incarnation, Jesus wishes to bring us home to heaven. Much like the saints that we have listed on the paper here. And even those that aren't sainted yet, that we're still thankful for. As we read in verse 13, who were born not out of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God desires all people to be his children. He freely gives his grace to all people through his Son, Jesus. Our human will wants to reject this gift and thus condemns us. It is through the will of God only that we are saved. Only through the will of God. Our human will is too far beyond corrupted. And we're only saved through the work of the church, the ministering of his word and through his sacraments. And through those, this grace is freely given. And those that unfortunately reject Christ also reject this free gift. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In this passage, the Apostle John looks back on the incarnation of Jesus and comments on the veiled glory of God. As I said earlier, this glory was made manifest at the Transfiguration, where John saw with his own eyes the very glory of God. It's also the same glory that the Father has and the Holy Spirit. Jesus preached the same message of truth and unending grace of God that we find in the Old Testament. Dearly beloved, God still dwells with us in the true church through his word and sacraments. Through the study, meditation, and preaching of his word is how people are converted to Christianity. It is how we are nourished by him and are called into repentance. Through his sacraments of baptism and Lord's Supper is how Christ continues his work in creation. In the case of baptism, Jesus commands us to bring all people in the world to him through baptism. And through baptism, God no longer sees us and our sin, but he sees us in the baptismal font, getting the name of him sealed on our foreheads. Through the mystical union of his body and blood, with the bread and wine, Jesus forgives us our sins for partaking of the sacrament. In a very few moments, you will all have the same body and blood of Christ in your bodies, forgiving you of your sins yet again. That leads you to life everlasting. At CTSFW, in the administration buildings, you're going down the one staircase, there's this big, huge portrait of Jesus. And it shows Jesus as a father holding a baby in his arms. But the baby in his arms is the whole world. And every time I walk past that portrait, I think to myself how blessed we are that no matter how bad the world gets, we're still safely in Jesus' hands. That little baby boy in the manger is the same God who created us, cares for us, and will call us home to be with him in heaven when we die. That same baby had the whole world in his hands when he was just a little embryo in his mother's womb. That same baby, as well as his father, takes care of us, as we confess in the explanation of the first article in the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, all my members, my reason, all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger. He guards and protects me from all evil. And all this he does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, to serve and obey him. As Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Don't ever doubt this promise. For Jesus is still here with us, even though we think he isn't. And even though we think our world is falling apart, and it happens more and more every day, I don't need to rehash on any of that, we all know. But Jesus is still the one in control, and he will take care of us. God be praised for this. Amen.
Amen.